Welcome to this week's episode of the Marked for Eternity podcast, where we bring you biblical truth on topics such as marriage, family, and ministry. This episode is made possible by the Ultra Global Partners. To find out more information about the Ultra Global, please go to theultraglobal.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Here are your hosts, Jeremiah and Paul Johnson.
Welcome to the Marked for Eternity podcast. This is your host, Jeremiah.
And this is Paul Johnson.
So good to be in the studio today, bringing you fresh content, what is happening in our lives and around the nation. Many of you have heard the news that the Ark Fellowship has recently opened here in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and we're starting a journey of church planting again. Paul, I know on the podcast we've talked about our histories together, church planting. We were down in Florida for a decade, and here we are up in the Carolinas. We've got the Altar Global and the Altar School, and the Lord has suddenly dropped a new season in our lives, totally unexpected, written online. I'm not really sure even what I think, but it's undeniable what God has done in this new season.
Yeah, Jeremiah, we're really excited for you guys and for what the Lord is so clearly doing here in North Carolina. Wanted to ask you just your heart as a founder of the Ark and what you see God doing. You've shared some of the details of how this came to be, but what is your vision and your heart for the Ark Fellowship here in North Carolina?
Yeah, I think, you know, after pastoring down in Florida for a decade, you know, we moved up to North Carolina in 2020. God began to birth the Altar Global, which really has this vision of preparing a bride for the return of Christ, very eternity globally focused. And then we launched the Altar School, which is about really raising up messengers in every sphere of society. And so we've had a headquarters up in the Carolinas and been having conferences and revival weekends and having the school on Tuesday, Thursday nights. We were really just in a season of praying, asking the Lord for a larger facility. And a local pastor here in the city had called me and said that he was moving away to his be with his spiritual father and wanted to know and really felt like the Lord said, give Jeremiah and Morgan Johnson your facility. So, you know, we started really celebrating the Lord, just celebrating the provision. It's a 13-acre campus. It's about 60,000 square feet. There's also a gymnasium here. And so we're just like thanking the Lord for a bigger facility for the Altar Global and the Altar School. And about the third day as we were praying, I was down in the sanctuary and I feel like the Lord said to me, you have built me an altar globally, but I want you to build me an ark locally. If any of you listening today, if you ever have a chance to come here to our facilities in Kannapolis, North Carolina, the sanctuary literally looks like a giant Noah's Ark.
It's amazing.
And the Lord took me to Genesis 8, you know, the flood comes, Noah and his family get out of the ark, and then they're the first people in the Bible to build God an altar. And I just really felt like the Lord was saying, you've done well to do the Altar Global and the Altar School, but now I feel like the Lord said, I want you to build an ark for marriages and families here in the Charlotte region. So truthfully, after having pastored for a decade and traveling around and speaking in churches and just understanding the burden and the assignment that local pastors have, when the Lord told me to plant the ark, I was like, oh God, no, you know, I just let me do the, let us just use this property for the Altar Global and the school. But the Lord really began to speak to me about three main core values for the ark, which was the fire of God, the family of God, and then the reality of spiritual fathering. And so what we've set out to do here in this new season at the Ark Fellowship is to rally around a community of believers around the fire of God, To me, the fire of God, it represents His presence. It represents His Holy Spirit. We really want God to be in our midst. We want Him to be welcomed. And so we're gathering believers around this kind of fiery DNA, letting the Holy Spirit have free reign in our services. That family aspect of it, you know, I love that passage in Ephesians that's talked about us being built together, us being fitted together, and us growing together as the family of God. And so we're just loving this opportunity to build community and do family, healthy marriages with this community. People are moving from all over.
Yeah.
Literally, families are moving. We've had pastors closing down their churches saying, God told us to move here and be a part of the ark. Mm-hmm. So that's really blown us away. And then just the element of spiritual fathering, I really believe that where there's no spiritual authority or leadership, we're really just having orphanage type gatherings. And so we're just here providing leadership, providing encouragement and correction if necessary to saints and believers. So it's been a wild journey. Paul, I can truly say about my life, a lot of it has just felt like it's fallen in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
The favor of God has been undeniable. So if you're listening today and you're ever in the Charlotte area, whether you would think about joining us for one of our national conferences or a school, now there's an opportunity Sundays, Wednesdays, kind of the whole thing. People can come and be a part.
Jeremiah, so what's it been like for you? You mentioned favor on your life. That's been so clear. It's been amazing to witness God favor you in tangible, profound, sometimes ridiculous ways.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it been like for you to steward that favor? Because, you know, favor comes with a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I know that you understand stewarding God's grace. Grace is an element of favor, or vice versa. So what's it like for you to steward that favor and the sense of responsibility that you carry with what the Lord has given you, or as you say, dropped in your lap?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been interesting, Paul, you know, looking back on my journey and God, especially these last 10 or 15 years, there's just been things, properties, invitations, relational connections that I really can't say I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
God has, to me, favor. It's just,
yep,
you know, His blessing. It's like what you couldn't do for yourself. And so I think the couple of things, like to me, number one is always in humility. I'm always just like blown away to be chosen as someone that God has used in this generation, really as a pioneer. That's how I see myself. I'm a frontline guy. I'm a visionary. I'm called to raise funds for God's kingdom. I'm called to cast vision. The Lord really uses me almost like a lightning rod to gather people and then help people find their purpose in God's kingdom. So I think the first thing is in humility, just recognizing God is the giver of life. He's the giver of property and assets and people. It's all His. He just, you know, loves to, you know, whatever, give it to me. And so it's in humility. And then the second thing is I think in the fear of who He is. So yeah, I'm just big on stewardship. You know, I'm a high octane, fast paced kind of guy, but that's because I feel the burden to steward what God has given me. Oftentimes I feel like the Lord gives me things in seed form, and then it's my responsibility to help them grow and help them become all that God is destined to be. So, you know, the Lord gave us this 13-acre campus. There's no note on it. There's no monthly payment, but there's a lot of things that have to be done here. So I've just been in humility and the fear of the Lord, just trying to steward and get things done and make this place better. And, you know, the people that God has entrusted us, try to love them well and challenge them to become all who God has created them to be. So I think the favor thing is just trying to do the best that I can. I think the obvious thing, Paul, is there's just a lot of jealousy that surrounds my life. Honestly, people have become very jealous of the buildings or the crowds or the connections or the travel or whatever. And so I can't do anything about that. All I can do is run my race and encourage people to run theirs. So I find myself focused on the task at hand, but I do at times run into a lot of jealousy because of my age. You know, people that I meet that are older than me constantly, it's like they awkwardly bring up how old they are. And I'm like, age is but a number in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. All that we have to do is be faithful to what he's given us. So those are some of my thoughts.
Yeah. And I do find that people that want to know how old you are, almost initially, that it's a symptom of a religious spirit and that they are looking to despise your youth.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm sure that there are, you know, people listening today, whether it doesn't matter how old you are, but all of us just, we all have a race to run. You know, some people that I meet, they were successful in their youth and, you know, they end up becoming complacent and lethargic in their older years. Some people wasted a lot of time early and they're late bloomers. God ends up blessing them, but we're all going to be accountable for what God gave us.
That's right.
So for me in my life, the Lord has given me a huge entrustment. So to me, my own personal responsibility is huge. And yes, there are some days where I wish God never gave me anything and I can just be a normal human being. And I look at people's lives and I'm like, I know they want to be me, but secretly I want to be them.
Yeah.
So it's just always that divine tension.
Mm-hmm. So with the ark for you personally, okay, not corporately, but if you could answer in a personal and a vulnerable way, what are you most excited about as it relates to the Ark Fellowship?
I think what I'm most excited about is to teach people the New Testament blueprint for church and life. I think I'm finding myself as I'm studying the Word, I'm taking notes, I'm becoming excited and full of life with a chance and an opportunity. I just think for a lot of people, they have been bound in religion. They don't really understand God's eternal purposes in Christ Jesus. They don't really understand the fivefold ministry. They don't understand their inheritance in Christ Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit and which are his gifts. And people will be given an opportunity to experience the freedom of the Holy Spirit and his gifts at the Ark Fellowship. So I think I'm just excited at the opportunity for the people that are gathering here to kind of lay a blueprint to dive back into the Word and help them to recognize what God has given us versus the religious control and restrictions of man.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the challenges that you foresee, some hurdles that you believe you'll have to overcome in the beginning days of the Ark?
Yeah, I think part of the challenge, I was actually talking with our worship team last night about this. I think some of the challenges is, you know, we're going to build relationally. And a lot of people, they're just used to building off of gifting and talent. So with our worship team, I was telling them, guys, you're going to have, you know, talented musicians and singers and people that are going to walk into a church plant, and they just think by talent alone, they've earned the right to sing and play or step on a stage. And here at the Ark Fellowship, we don't care about that. It's going to be through relationship, and it's going to be through a standard of morality that's going to earn people the right for an opportunity to play and sing. And I've just noticed over the years, whether it was down in Florida or here in North Carolina, and as I've traveled everywhere, it really is the same. We have created what I call orphan culture. And there's orphan culture in the church by where people believe that what they can do for you is what's going to give them access to your life or ministry. So we're going to face those challenges here, I know. And so that's something that we're working through, trying to model in a small core group of people, building relationship with one another. And then, you know, we become the family of God, which leads to ministry. So it's more like relationship leads to ministry, where an orphan culture ministry leads to relationship. So we're going to try to expose that and do the best that we can to model it for people. But it's already becoming a challenge. It's a challenge everywhere. So we're getting a lot of people coming in the door saying, hey, I sing, I play, I preached, I've this and that. And I'm like, that is awesome. So why don't you come become part of the family and see where relationship takes us. And unfortunately, oftentimes than not, people hit the door and they find the next orphanage that they can become a star in.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I see their marriages and their families implode and they're just spit up and they're chewed out. And it's, we don't want to do that at the Ark.
Yeah, Jeremiah, I think what you're hitting on is so important because you're touching and speaking to the reality that there are people, and some of them are completely unaware of their own true motives because their heart has deceived them, but there are people that want to use the church to get their needs met. And when people come in and they're seeking a position or a title, this doesn't mean that you should hide your gifts, by the way, because if God has graced you, then like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, you have a responsibility to steward the grace that he's given you. But it's in the context of relationship when it comes to the local church that that's where a healthy foundation gets laid and you can actually be built together in love and not just performing side by side. So what you're speaking to, I think, is an important point because there are people that are seeking to use the church. They view the stage or they look at the microphone as an opportunity almost to find out who they are, which is the wrong approach when it's in the secret place and when it's in relational connection with Abba Father that we find out who we are and he begins to speak to our hearts and establish us and root us and ground us in our true identity, which is completely separate from ministry itself. And I think that's the paradigm, that's the context that you're speaking to.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, my experience has been, you know, when you build relationally, it's slower.
Yes.
I think that, you know, when you get into the whole performance, orphan culture, finding your identity in ministry, using manipulation and control to get people to do what you want, oftentimes you experience large growth, you experience the best and the greatest, but long term it ends up imploding. So I think relationship in the kingdom of God is slower,
yes,
but it will last longer and it will be more healthier during the test of time. So I definitely agree with you. And we always, we have our work cut out for us. And that's, I mentioned earlier on the podcast, just some of my reservations of doing local church work versus having a movement or speaking and writing is, you know, family and all it, it's a community. These are nice concepts in our culture that people just think can be achieved through Facebook statuses or just making a YouTube channel. And the reality is healthy spiritual family and relationship and the kingdom of God, a New Testament blueprint. It's a lot of work. It's going to be very messy, but I'm saying yes to God in this new season and really looking forward to it.
And the relational paradigm is really a love paradigm. It's really a the family that God desires his house. You know, we see in the Old Testament, the house of the Lord was a physical structure. It was a tabernacle or the temple. And then in the new covenant, we become the house of the Lord. Hebrews 3 mentions that Jesus was faithful over his house, who we are. So we're the house of the Lord, and God wants to fit us and join us together. Ephesians 4 says we're fit together by that which every joint supplies. 1 Peter 2 talks about being built together. And there are many gatherings, but there are few real buildings in the Lord. And that's what you're referring to with relationship that's so important, is it's a choice to love. And I find that in our 21st century Western church context, people will choose offense and they will choose bitterness and they will choose these things and they'll go ahead and hit the door and they church hop and they jump down the road. And it's a part of our dysfunction as the global or national body of Christ here in this country, where the beauty of relationship is that it's slower, like you said, it's harder, but it's real it's authentic, and hopefully it can stand the test of time, because I find that's why they jump ship, that's why they leave, because it's easier to jump ship than it is to endure. That love hopes all things, love believes all things, love endures all things, love is patient. And so the local church context is beautiful. It can be messy, but it's beautiful because it's where we learn how to love. It's where God matures us and grows us in love, which is the pinnacle of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Ministry's not the top of the mountain. Mature agape love manifesting in our lives, that's God's ultimate goal for us.
Yeah, and you know, and just even in hearing you talk, it to me it's an amen. But the challenge is always like, when does amen practically get worked out? Mm-hmm. I just think a lot of people in the body of Christ would say amen to love and amen to relationship. But then actually doing it in a local church context, that's a different story. So for those of you listening today, you want more information about the ARC Fellowship, you can go to it's arcfellowship.church. Again, you can go to arcfellowship.church for more information. You can join us on social media. We're streaming all of our services. If you're looking, if you're somewhere around the world, you want to join in with us online, you can go to our social media pages on Instagram and Facebook. And of course, you can go to the ARC Fellowship YouTube channel and catch everything. So thanks so much for your prayers, those of you who are partnering with us. The Altar Global, the school, is still continuing to thrive. We're doing conferences. We're supporting missionaries, church planters from around the world. God's raising up messengers. And now we're entering into this new season in August 2022, where God is birthing something local, the ARC Fellowship. He's going to use all three, the ARC Fellowship, Altar Global, and Altar School for His glory.
Yeah.
And Paul, thanks for the interview today and helping our audience find out more information.
Yeah, Jeremiah, we're excited for you guys. We're praying for you, and I look forward to coming and ministering here in just a few weeks.
Yes, Paul is going to be an active voice and in the ARC Fellowship, the movement, and the church, and just really looking forward, Paul, for our viewers to hear from you more. So thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. In a future episode, I'm going to be interviewing Paul about what's happening at Our Father's House up in Indy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Marked for Eternity podcast, as we seek to bring biblical truth to this generation regarding topics such as marriage, family, and ministry. We want to give a special thank you to our Altar Global partners who make it possible for us to release fresh content such as this in order to train and equip the body of Christ around the world. If you were blessed by this episode, make sure to go to thealtarglobal.com/podcast to listen to current and past episodes. God bless, and thank you for listening.